Joining me now on Our Town is Kirk Malenik and Rachel Pearson, and we are going to talk the Winter Music Festival 2020. We're doing it all again. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. How are you, George?
Not too bad. Happy New Year.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you.
Yes, yeah. Sir.
So coming up in just a couple of weeks there, January 24th, 25th, and 26th, a three-day event, always great music. Let's start off with, you've got some things that happened prior to the actual ticket sale event, right, for the kids?
Correct. It's called the Kiwanis Kids Concert, and the local Florence Kiwanis Club has generously sponsored pretty much the whole cost of that concert, but other people, too, have chipped in because they love the kids and they know what it means to the school districts in town. And that will be run by Annie Savage. She's with the Greg Blake Band, and they are an amazing, hot, but also a lot of fun bluegrass band, very approachable. And Annie is a PhD candidate in music education.
Oh, cool.
And a fiddler.
Now, introducing the kids to, I'm assuming you go to these concerts when they have them, introducing these kids to the bluegrass music, what does that look like on the kids' faces?
It's wonderful because they get an introduction to a real instrument and what that looks like. It's not a YouTube video. It's someone standing up there responding in kind. And our performers always encourage the students to participate. We just need to keep them from bouncing in the seats because then it becomes kind of a roller coaster ride. But the enthusiasm level is very high.
Well, because I know, and maybe it's just me and maybe other people experience the way you guys can tell me if this is the case or not. But like, I love to watch a live hockey game, but I don't like watching it on TV. I love to listen to live bluegrass music, but I don't necessarily listen to it, you know, over the radio or the car or anything. Mm-hmm. But it's some one of those things when it's live, it's just so much more there for you. I mean, it feels live. You know what I'm saying?
It's true roots music of America. I'll let Kirk talk about the history of bluegrass just a bit.
All right, Kirk.
Yeah, so basically, yeah, it goes back to turn of the century and beyond. The music came from Scotland and Ireland and ended up in the Appalachian Mountains here in the United States of America. And it's just good old-fashioned roots music, like Rachel said. And when in a live setting, it does draw you in. And the look on the kids' faces is quite remarkable. Some of these kids have never been in a theater like the Florence Event Center. And so they're coming from Mapleton. They're coming from Reedsport. They're coming from our very own school district here in Florence. And to Rachel's credit, she's the only person who endures in this thing. This will be her 19th one. She started it, and she continues it. And imagine all the kids' lives that have been touched. I, for example, was introduced to music at about the same age and went on to become a good guitar player and singer because of it. And there are other stories like that where you get introduced to it, you're sucked into the music, and you want to do it yourself.
I was kind of the same way. I didn't become a good guitar player, but I did pick it up very young after seeing it live. And then living for 20-some years right at the foot of the Appalachians, you know, I got to hear some of that bluegrass, you know, right there. I mean, where it originated from.
It doesn't get more authentic than that. And no. Greg Blake himself comes from West Virginia, so he's bona fide as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. So that's kind of the Christmas concert, not the Christmas concert, the kids concert. Then we get into Friday, Saturday, and Sunday events going on. Who wants to start with Friday?
I'll just chime in that I'm actually going to start with Saturday afternoon.
Okay.
I want to push Greg Blake and Annie and their band because they are amazing, and they'll be around Friday too. Just they don't have a performance, but they're on their own time and their own dime. They're hanging around to say we want to be part of this festival and part of this concert experience. So they'll be there Friday, and then they'll play on Saturday again. And if anyone like I did got pulled into watching all 16 hours of Ken Burns country music, this is just going to be icing on the cake. Especially the Saturday, because there's so much great American music.
And George, we could argue that the cake itself starts Friday night, and that is with two well-known bluegrass bands starting at 7 o'clock with John Reichman and the Jaybirds. John Reichman is a renowned mandolin player and leads a great band. He's originally from Canada, has dual citizenship here. They're going to be starting at 7 o'clock, and they're followed by the Kathy Kallick Band. Now, both of these bands are Grammy winners, award winners, International Bluegrass Music Association award winners. And when it comes to bluegrass, it doesn't get any more authentic than this. That's Friday night.
I wanted to play the mandolin, but my fingers were too fat. I couldn't do the chords on that. I tried, though, but it's good. So that's Friday night. Now, just quickly, you can get tickets for each night separately or all together. Is that correct?
That is correct. We have a two-day pass, which gets you into everything on Friday, Saturday afternoon, and Saturday night, and a three-day pass, which then adds Sunday to the package as well.
Okay. Now, let's talk a little bit more about Saturday. Now, it's just not – am I correct in saying it's just not the evening? It starts early in the afternoon, right?
That's correct. So at 1 o'clock on Saturday afternoon, we're going to start with a couple out of Seattle by the name of Chelsea and Benjamin Peck. They call themselves Mr. and Mrs. Something, and they're going to get things kicked off. And that's followed by a well-known Nashville guitarist by the name of Jim Hurst. He'll be performing solo, and he's well-known in the bluegrass circles, plays all sorts of music, tremendous guitar player, great singer, very engaging performer. And then, as Rachel said, it's the Greg Blake Band that takes us home on Saturday afternoon. And he's interesting because not just straight-ahead bluegrass, but he's also a really good country artist as well, authentic country. He's going to be mixing up his set with some of all of that, so... if you don't like bluegrass, that's not a reason just to go to not see Greg Blake. You're going to want to see him for a lot of different reasons Saturday afternoon.
All right. And then we get into the evening performances, right?
That's correct.
Yes, and we have an exciting band that was nominated for an IBMA Rising Band Award that last fall, and they're called Circus Number 9.
I heard they're quite a troupe, so to speak.
Energetic. Mm-hmm. You can kind of sum it up in one word, but also eclectic. They've got jazz and bluegrass, obviously, with the instruments that they play. But it's going to be an interesting night, and you're going to want to see them before they get too...
Because it's a visual thing, too, right?
Right. See and hear them before they get too famous.
Some people have described them as John Coltrane meets John Hartford. And for people who know music, they know what that means. So it's going to be very exciting.
That's pretty cool.
The other thing, and this is a gift... from Oregon Pacific Bank to our community. The bank is sponsoring a community concert on Friday evening at 4:30, and it's during banking hours, but everybody's welcome to come in, have coffee and cookies, and listen to Circus Number 9 for an hour.
And that's going to be at the bank?
At the bank.
Oh, cool.
On 101, 1355.
In the bank lobby, free to all those who can come, and refreshments are being provided by OPB. They've been a really great friend to the festival.
Well, that's good. That's good. And that way people will get a little taste of it.
Correct.
And then they'll want to come back on Friday. I mean, Saturday.
Right. And then to bring us home on Saturday night is the well-known Livingston Taylor, arguably the smarter brother in the Taylor family, is how he likes to advertise himself. James Taylor's brother.
Yeah.
Little brother.
But he's been at this for 50 years. He was born in Boston. That family was born in Boston, but grew up in North Carolina. A lot of top 40 hits out of Livingston, including I Will Be in Love With You, I'll Come Running, I Can Dream of You, and Boatman. Several of those recorded by his brother James, but Livingston himself is a legend in his own right, continues to tour a lot of dates over the course of a year. Full professor at the Berklee School of Music in Boston, and just a real active fellow, very engaging performer, plays the piano, plays the guitar extremely well, and he's going to have us in the palm of his hand within the first few measures that night.
Yeah, and you don't get very many genius-level musicians, but I'm pretty sure that Livingston and James both fit into that category based on what they write and played over the years.
I concur, absolutely. Yeah.
And thanks to the magic of radio, I am showing you the most wonderful poster of Livingston Taylor in the whole world. Ah. You'll see some of these around town. You'll have to take my word for it if you're listening to this. But he is just, he's dapper, he's handsome, he's got this engaging smile, and he just, as Kirk said, within 30 seconds, you'll be in his thrall, and he'll do 90 minutes of wonderful music and stories.
Pretty cool. That's really nice.
Now, Sunday afternoon, we wrap it up with folk. In fact, we have a gentleman coming out of Portland by the name of Tyler Stenson, who's won some awards around Portland area there. And he writes his own material. He'll be performing solo that afternoon for the first hour from 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock. And then, Rachel, tell us about the troupe that's going to finish the festival on Sunday afternoon.
That is Kirsten Granger and her husband, Dan Wetzel, and they are the core of True North Band. They'll perform as the True North Duo. And if you like original songwriting by national and international award winners, you're going to love this because that's what they're known for, really, is their original, heartfelt, some might say almost tear-jerking songs, but they're not like tear-jerking in a country way. It's because they sing so beautifully and play together. And they're husband and wife. Mm-hmm. And they will also be doing a songwriting workshop.
Well, that's very good.
Yes, we'd like to add this year the fact that we spice things up quite a bit. And that is, in addition to the annual Florence Regional Arts Alliance Arts Festival, which will be going on Saturday and Sunday simultaneously, we partitioned out part of the space there on the flat floor to have both on-site jamming this year, starting Friday afternoon before the actual concerts start, but also workshops. And specifically, two workshops on Saturday morning, starting at 9 o'clock, one at 10:30, and another one on Sunday. We've had a lot of questions over the years, why don't you have workshops? All these festivals have workshops. Well, guess what, folks? This is your chance. If you hold a ticket to any of the concert events, just one of those, not a weekend pass or anything else, that gets you into these workshops for free. If you don't hold a ticket, you can pay $20 at the door and have access to learning at the elbow of a person like Annie Savage in the Greg Blake Band, learn how to jam in the bluegrass style. Some of us are living room jammers. We need to hone our skills. This is going to be a chance to do it. And then Jim Hurst is going to do a guitar workshop at 10:30 on Saturday morning. So here's a chance to, again, learn at somebody's elbow who has played internationally as a wonderful guitar player. And Rachel can talk about the songwriting workshop on Sunday, please.
That will be, as I said, Kirsten and her husband Dan, and they will do songwriting fundamentals. Nationally recognized and very warm people. They've been here before several times as True North Band, and I will have to say that they sell more CDs, and well, basically that's all they have is their CDs, but they sell more to people than almost any other band we've ever booked. And they're so good with the one-on-one, and not just from the stage, but meeting people. They'll stay as long as people are there to get autographs and talk about how they heard them 15 years ago. So we're looking forward to them. And we have one more special thing. If that's too much firepower for our festival goers and beginning jammers, our own Janet Wellington is going to have a basic beginner how to jam noon on Friday on the flat floor. And it's for anybody that wants to come in and just learn the basics. And it'll literally be etiquette and how to cut in, how to announce your song. And if you just want to come and listen and not even participate, that can happen too.
And that is the official kickoff for the festival, that right there, Friday at noon. And by the way, we're rounding out the festival with a couple of food trucks in the parking lot. We have the smoked salmon chowder truck coming out of Astoria, Oregon. That's going to be supplemented by the local Eat Well Organic Noodle Truck right here from Florence, a very popular entity. We're going to be serving Ninkasi beer over the course of the weekend, concessions through the window there at the FEC. And so we're hoping that's just going to make people really happy along the way.
Don't forget the pie.
Oh, the pie. Tell us about the pie.
Once again, Ladies of Elks are sponsoring and helping run the pie sale, which is popular for people. They can just come in and buy a slice of pie and some good coffee and meet with their neighbors, maybe wander in the Fra Art Festival after they're done with their pie. We don't want the pie in the art festival, it's kind of a pie social for a lot of people who probably would not come in otherwise. That's a lot of fun.
So you mentioned OPB as one of the folks. You mentioned Kiwanis. Now, I'm sure there's some other people that you'd like to give a shout out to that make this possible.
I'll just do a general statement, George, and say that, again, a festival like this does not endure for 18 years without the help of a lot of local contributions, basically. And so, again, the festival simply wouldn't exist without this. And so also the committee that works on this is important as well. And KCST is a sponsor, by the way. I'll just mention you guys right off the starting blocks and let Rachel round it out here.
Once again, we have Sea Lion Caves as our presenting sponsor. They've been very generous in the past. And as I said, the Kiwanis Club, Gene Koning, in memory of the wonderful, generous Art Koning, who passed away this last year. The Elks Lodge, always ready to help with anything for children. They've come on board. Waterfront Depot, under Jordan Stone. We're excited to have Waterfront Depot back. Ladies of Elks, as I said. Oregon Pacific Bank, as I said. And Marianne's Bodega Wine Parlor, kind of round out the major show sponsors and people that are have been so good to us over the years.
And we can't forget our in-kind sponsors, the folks like the hotels who provide lodging for our entertainers. Very important. It may not be a cash contribution, but it certainly means a lot to us.
It helps out a lot. Okay, again, the dates are January 24th, 25th, and 26th. Two-day tickets, three-day tickets. Give me the prices, how they can get them.
Yes, you can go to wintermusicfestival.org and see our website and peruse the bands, learn more information about the schedule, etc. You can also go to eventcenter.org. That is the Florence Event Center's website. Prices are as follows. A two-day pass is $92. A three-day pass is $112. Friday night bluegrass is $35. The Saturday afternoon Americana is $27 per person. The Saturday night headliner is $49, and the Folk Sunday is $27.
All right. And, of course, you save a lot of money by getting the three-day pass.
That's correct.
All right. Well, thank you both for being here. Look forward to another great music event coming up. Tell you what, it's always that time of year when you need something to do, and this is a great thing to do for this time of year.
Thank you, George. Appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you.
Coming up next, we'll take a look at the measles epidemic that was and no longer is with Dr. Mark Schnoppert from Nova Health right after this on the January edition of Our Town.